Hallelujah. It's great to be back. 2 years down the line and lots of experience, lots of testing, lots of challenges, but God's been good all the time, and it's fantastic to be back. Thank you to Trevor, to Terry, Juanita. Thank you for the beautiful worship. It was lovely. I always enjoy the privilege of coming here. And today, I really do have a message for you. And I want to tell you how this has come about. Because, you know, for any preacher, you've got to live something before it becomes life to those people that you're imparting to. And Skippy and I live, for those who don't know, in Mallorca. And it was September last, and I was enjoying a time on the beach. It is a time where I can connect with God, no doubt about it. I can praise him loudly, I can worship him, and I don't care who he is at all. But I actually know I connect with him. And the Holy Spirit began to whisper to me, and he said, "Jill, have a look around you." When I'm connecting with the Lord, I'm very focused, you know? But I started looking around on the beach, and people were putting on their coats. They were putting towels around them, and I thought it was a beautiful day. You know? And then there were some that were getting up. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "You haven't looked up." And I looked up at the mountains, and there was an enormous black cloud, absolutely enormous. And my reaction was, "Oh my goodness, I must go, quick, like everybody else." But the Holy Spirit said to me, "I want you to see something. Watch. Watch." And you know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit is going to speak, he speaks in a natural way, and then imparts the spiritual truth to us. And I began to look. And there were all these people disappearing off the beach. And that's what I wanted to do. It was getting chilly. The sun had gone in, and I knew a storm was coming. I absolutely knew. But then the Holy Spirit said, "Watch again. Watch." And I looked, and there was a group of people. They were all sorts of different ages, and they threw off their towels. They left where they were, and they went headlong into the water. And they were having a fantastic time, absolutely amazing time. And the rain came, the people had gone from the beach, others were sheltering under the brollies. But there was a group of people that was enjoying the storm. And as I watched, God spoke to me, and he said, "My people need to know how to handle storms and find hope in the midst of storms, because there's going to be a stormy season." How many of you can say amen to that? Storms come, but I've got good news to you. They go as well. Amen. They come and they go. And we need to be able to find the eye of the storm, so that we can live in peace and look beyond to the hope that he has for us. So I want to sort of just connect with you really today, and tell you perhaps, I don't know, how can you say something is the biggest storm? But 2 years ago, I'm not sure, I can't ever remember what I say, where I say it, but we came face to face with a storm that I never expected in my whole life. And when I had the phone call that our beautiful granddaughter of 17 was going into a psychiatric unit with severe anorexia, my heart broke. And where do you go? How do you find the eye of a storm? How do you get to that place where you can see beyond the storm? How can you find and live in the hope that God has got for us? I only know one place, and that's at the cross. And I came to the cross that day, as I shared yesterday, and I really, really thought, because I believe in total healing, I believe in the power of God, I've seen it, I've experienced it, I thought, if I can just touch him, you know, I would have something that I could release in hope for dear Beth. But that wasn't what I heard. What I heard was Jill, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, Jill, will you still praise me? Will you still love me if I take her home to be with me? That wasn't what I wanted to hear. And sometimes when there are storms, we hear what we don't want to hear. But I'm telling you, to find the place at the eye of the storm, you have to come into agreement with God. And I found this beautiful, beautiful scripture. I never knew it was there. And I just want to share it with you now from dear Job. Aren't you glad that you haven't experienced the storms of Job? Hallelujah. But right in the middle of Job's storm, where he'd lost his business, he'd lost his family, he lost the respect and honor of his wife, he'd lost his health. I mean, you know, pretty bad things, okay? And here is this verse in Job chapter 22, 21. I am coming to the scripture that I asked you to get up for me in a minute. Verse 21, and I'm reading from the Amplified. Agree with God. Show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. And by that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. Wow! Here is how you find the eye of the storm. Here is how I found the eye of the storm faced with the heartbreak of our granddaughter. Agree with God. If you start asking why this, why that, you are not going to be able to find the eye of the storm, the place of peace. And he says there, the word says, agree with God. So that day, I agreed with God after a few minutes. Everything within me didn't want to, but I know that that's the only way I can live, by agreeing with him, because he knows best. And peace came into my spirit man. And here it says, be conformed to his will. Have you been asked? I noticed one of the words we sang there. I will forgive as you forgive me. I think it was Gary, I'm not sure. Has God asked you to forgive somebody that's really, really hurt you, or hurt your husband or your children, or just pierced you, and you think they don't deserve to be forgiven? True. But if you agree with God, you will forgive them and you will come to a place of peace. You don't excuse it, but you leave it in God's hands. And that day, as I lay on the floor, and I said, okay. And then God began to speak to me. You see, he said, the cross is the only thing that's going to bring her through. I only know that the cross is the place of victory. Other people can have other things, but for us, the family of God, the cross is the place of victory, the place where God won that victory for us. And so I never knew, it's a long story and I'm not going to do it because I want to come to the main message. So this book, which I don't think I've hardly got any left, I really apologize for, but you can get them online, is my story with our Beth. And the amazing news is that they said she would never dance again. She went into heart failure, expected to die. And God provided for her to do a foundation degree in performing arts. She's a dancer, ever only wants to dance for the Lord. And now she's doing her full degree. You know, it's a miracle. But God asked me to write every day to her and explore the cross through the Bible. I never knew I was writing a book. I never knew I was writing a legacy. All I knew was that I was pouring out the victories that can come when you understand and experience the cross for yourself. So that's what that is all about. And I found the eye of the storm. She found the eye of the storm. And she's so on fire for God, and she's already speaking to youth groups around the country. There's such an anointing because she knows that she's come from the pit. She knows who's picked her up. She knows that she gave way to deception, made a covenant with death. But God is greater. Life and more life and life abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. The other books are there. Some of you may have had them, about how to be dare to be an eagle, which is how to walk in the Spirit, or how to get to know the Holy Spirit. I am passionate about the Holy Spirit. I really am. But I was challenged the other day. I went to speak in an African church in London, and I was given a topic. And the topic was the role of the Holy Spirit as a midwife. And that shoved me into the Word. And it's amazing what God really found out for me and helped me to share. Because the Holy Spirit is God here and now. So could you put up the scripture, please? That is my scripture for today. Thank you so much. Yeah, marvelous. Right. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. If you haven't know where that happened to know where it is. Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 13. You see, we've got to find the eye of the storm so that we can have hope to go through it. That's what it's all about. So I've entitled today as Beautiful Hope, because God has put this on my heart in an amazing way. It's from the Amplified, so I just want to open this up a little bit and see where we go. Dear Holy Spirit, I need your help. We all need your help all the time. Thank you so much that you are the helper. Thank you that you are so gracious in your helping. Thank you that you're so wonderful in bringing life and breathing on your word. And Father, I pray that you'd carry your word into every heart that is open, into every stormy situation, into every hopeless situation. I pray that you would breathe hope this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So may the God of your hope. How many believers are there here? How many believers? Okay. Have you got a God of hope? Or are you a one that is begging? Oh, please, God, help me do this. My situation is awful. People don't understand me. I don't understand myself. And all the rest of it. Or have you got God of your hope? Because you need it. In this day and age, we need the God of our hope. Amen? I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're going. But I know that we need a hope. And it's not to be any hope that is based in people. Have you been let down by people? I have. You know? And have we let down people? Yes, we have. We don't mean to, but we do. But we have a God of our hope. And as believers, we've got to believe that the hope we have in our God is good news for everybody, no matter where they are, what they're doing, what situation they're in, because we know he's the God of our hope. Amen? Can you say amen to that? Because how? May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace. How will people know that you have faith in the God of your hope? Only by what flows out of you. You have to have that joy and peace. When everything's going well, no difficulty. No. When you're in the storm, when you're in the difficulty, when you're in that crisis moment, that's when you are either going to pull from within yourself that joy and that peace, like Job could do, because he was conformed to God's will, had great peace, and then the promise was hope was going to give him great good and great prosperity. I mean, that's what he saw beyond his situation. And the hope I'm talking about is not temporal. It is not based on things here. The hope that we have is eternal. We've been, in 1 Peter 1 verse 3, it says, we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And Paul said, if you don't believe that Jesus is alive, we're to be pitied more than anybody else. Jesus defeated the last enemy. Jesus has done it all. And he expects us to believe that that's the God of hope we're putting our trust in, so that we are full, fill you with all joy and peace. How? You've got to put your faith there. Amen. You've got to put your faith in who he is, not in your situations, not in your circumstances. I couldn't put my hope in the circumstances with our Beth in that psychiatric unit. I couldn't put my hope in a situation just now before Christmas. You see, God showed me that the eye of the storm, the place of hope, comes best through hopeless situations. Because that's when you prove your God, because you lean on him, you believe in him, and he brings that eternal hope. And just 3 days before Christmas, Skippy was taken into hospital. He couldn't breathe properly, wasn't getting oxygen. He was paralyzed in the right-hand side of his diaphragm, and it wasn't working. And they said, into hospital. I'm thinking, all these tests, Lord, he's not well. What do? Come to the cross. I don't know anybody else, where else to go. And what do? Lord, I lay down this ministry trip from January through to March next weekend. I lay it all down because I know that my God is not a God that will let me down. I don't know how he's going to work it out. It's a hopeless situation. I don't talk to him. I don't talk to people. I talk to him. And I tell you what, he is the one that brings hope out of hopeless situations. And I want to tell you that today. But as he was in hospital the day before Christmas, and we met the consultant, and he said, I hear that you are anticipating going to UK. I said, no. Not if it's dangerous for my husband. That's it. You see, I'd let go. If you want to find the eye of the storm and you want to experience hope in your hopeless situation, you're going to have to let go and let God. Yeah. Amen? I was so amazed. You could have knocked me down with a feather. The consultant says to me, it's not dangerous for him at all. We'll do all the tests when you come back. And suddenly, what I had let go of came back to me. And God has really blessed this tour in an amazing, amazing way. You see, out of the hopeless situation, God of our hope filled me with joy and peace as I believed in him, because he turns everything together for good for those that love him and called according to his purpose. You have to have hope in his word. Job proclaimed his word. I proclaim his word. You need to proclaim his word. And you put your hope in his word. His word will not fail. His word will not pass away. Hope is something you can grasp hold of. We've been born again into this living, living hope. But we have to believe it. Have you discovered that you're not too sure sometimes whether you do believe or not? You know, I mean, we're all believers here, aren't we? But if your circumstance comes with a big storm and a crisis, Lord, you know your faith is tiny. But I've got good news for you. The tiny little seed of a faith is enough, because it's placed in the hope of our God, that is our hope, that will not let us down. A hope that never disappoints us. You know, never. How does that happen? How do we experience through the experience of your faith? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, if you're not empowered with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to find that place, the eye of the storm. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that peace, to bring that joy. It's not natural. It's certainly not, it's supernatural. And the only way that you can find this beautiful hope that won't let you down is by believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that gives us hope. And it's a beautiful, beautiful hope. And because I always want to secure a message in the Word of God, and I said, well, how can I do that, Lord? And he said to me, look at all the hopeless situations in the Bible that turned out good and brought hope. So I want to look today, first of all, in one. Recently, I've been preaching to quite a lot of unbelievers. People that have just come into church and they're not churched at all. And they don't know what you're talking about unless you explain. So in case you don't know who Hosea is in the Old Testament, I'm going to explain. He's a man that God chose to live out God's message of hope in a hopeless situation. He had to believe in his God of all hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Hosea is saying, yes, Lord, I'll be your prophet. I'll speak for you. But I wonder if he really knew what was going to be coming. Because suddenly the word comes to him by the Holy Spirit. Go into the marketplace and get yourself a wife. Oh, Lord, that's wonderful. I've been expecting a wife, a beautiful wife, so that we can have children. I glorify you. No, Hosea, go down to the marketplace, and I want you to pick one of the prostitutes. Get thee behind me, Satan. Or haven't you ever felt like that? No? When something God tells you, and you just don't understand, it just don't make sense. It doesn't seem wise, you know? But I praise God that if you're going to find the eye of the storm, you have to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Amen? Whether you understand it or not. And sometimes he explains and sometimes he don't. You know? So there he goes and he gets this prostitute. Now, Lord, it's up to you. I don't know how to treat her. She doesn't know how to treat me. So God is on the case. And they have three beautiful children. You read it in the book of Hosea. And everything's going great. Hello? Then suddenly, whoops, the storm hits. Something completely unexpected. She goes off the rails and she goes back to being a prostitute. Oh God, I did what you said. I did get that prostitute. We've really tried, but it ain't worked. Listen, if you've got a situation where you've tried and it hasn't worked, I've got hope for you. Amen? I've got a beautiful hope because he doesn't give up. But it isn't kind of what he expected. Go back, Hosea. Go back down to the marketplace. And you will see your wife there. But Lord, she's gone right away from God. She's gone right away back into prostitution. I don't know if I really want her back. Sometimes we're like that. We don't want what God wants. We have to agree with him. Now, Hosea, take your savings. Take your 15 silver coins, all that you've got, and go and buy her back. Oh my, what a man that God had got hold of. that in the middle of that storm, he's still obedient. And this is what he says. God says to Hosea in chapter 2, behold, verse 14, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and I'll speak tenderly to her heart. Do you know, if you're going to find the eye of the storm, if you're going to experience a hope that's not going to let you go, that's never going to disappoint you, you're going to have to believe that God can speak tenderly to whomsoever in the wilderness, wherever they are. I believe there are grandchildren and children that have gone right away from God, and you prayed and you haven't seen anything. But I'm telling you, God says, I will speak tenderly to them in their wilderness, in their heartache, in their stormy situation. But it can't be from a place where you're being tossed around. You know, we have to be in the eye of the storm, secure in who we are, and who, most of all, in who he is. And then the promise comes. And this is a beautiful hope, right the way through, from every hopeless situation. There, in Hosea 2, verse 15, there I will give her vineyards, and I'll make the valley of Achor, that means troubling, to be for her a door of hope. And today, there is beautiful hope ahead of you. There is beautiful hope in your family situation. There is beautiful hope in your bodily situation. There is beautiful hope in ministry. There is beautiful hope in that relationship that just seems to have been dissipated. Do you know, this hope I'm talking about that's found in the eye of the storm is not passive. It's no good sitting down and saying, oh Lord, I'll just pray about it. No, there is a rising up on the inside of us. Hope that I'm talking about, the eternal hope, is not passive, it's active. We have to grasp it. The hope I'm talking about is anchored in heaven, we're told. And we pull heaven into our situation with a hope that will not let us go. A hope that is not going to disappoint us. Are you with me? Can you see that door of hope in your situation? Whether you've lost your job, whether you haven't got finances, whatever it is, where that brick wall seems to be there, there's a door of hope. Hosea went on, and he went through that door of hope. And that day, as I lay on the floor, I went through the door of hope. The hope I put was not in that Beth was going to get better. No. My hope was in the God that would bring me through. You see, you have to find the eye of the storm. Before you can speak about it, live it, or anything else, you and I have to experience this hope that will not let us go. We've been born again into that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, you can't have this eternal hope. It's impossible, because you'll see too many obstacles. You'll see that death, well, it's probably the end. Recently, I've just met people that said, you know, death has to be the end. I said, no, my hope is beyond that. My hope is in the eternal covenant that my God has made with me. And I can give that to everybody else. Because what you receive in the eye of the storm equips you for going out and becoming a vessel of hope to other people. Don't you think there's enough hopelessness around? I do. Everywhere we look, turn the telly on, you know, there's hopeless situations, or situations that you don't understand and I don't understand. But I have an eternal hope that my God is in full control all the time. He reigns forever and ever and ever. But I have to live it. I can't just let words come out of me. I've got to absolutely live it. And so one of the things that I looked at again right the way through the Bible, is that possible? You see, there's a door of hope that Hosea found, and we can walk through that. But there are things that you face: loss, death, heartache, pain, relationships severed that don't seem to be able to come together. What are the keys? So I'm turning now to 2 Samuel, and again, I'm going to pick you up with me and take you. David's anointed as king. Yes? He was anointed as a youngster. He had hope in what had happened to him and the promise that he would. He carried that hope with him all the way through the wilderness areas and times and everything until God brought him to that place where he was reigning. He was king. And he fell. We all know about David's fall. He saw a woman bathing, and he should never have been there. He should have been out with his troops. He should have been doing what God had called him, leading his people. But he fell. Oh my. When you fall, when you make a bad decision, when you've blown it. Hello? Has anybody else blown it? We all have. Every single one of us. So we need to know what to do. His fall was pretty public. God is very merciful to us. Sometimes our falls aren't so public. Aren't you glad? But we are told to look at these things in the Bible so that they become examples to us, illustrations of how we can live in a beautiful, beautiful hope. So they have a baby. He's a planned murder, arranged murder, everything. And everything seems fine. She's having a baby. And the baby is sick. Really, really sick. Sometimes, in that stormy situation, you've got to find a way of looking beyond. I know how I'd have been. Oh, Lord, it's all my fault. I did it. I blew it. I didn't listen to you. But God says to us, there is now no condemnation for those that live in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so we can put our hope. But how did David manage it? He repented. He lay on the floor. Oh, aren't you glad you aren't living in the Old Testament? Oh, Father God, I am so glad. He fasted, he prayed, he wept. So bad that all his servants, especially the faithful ones, they said, what are we going to do? What if the baby dies? It's terrible. This went on for 7 days. He's pleading with God for the life of a little baby. And then he died. And the people, the servants, are so scared to tell him. But God already tells him. The baby's dead. When you have your crisis, when you have your difficulty, how do you find that eye of the storm? How do you place your hope? Look what David did in 2 Samuel. It says here, when David saw, verse 19, chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. But when David saw that his servants whispered, he perceived that the child was dead. So he said, they said to him, he is, because David asked, is the child dead? And this is what we got to do to find the eye of the storm. We got to follow what David did. And I guarantee you, it works. David saw and he arose. The very first thing you need to do to find the eye of the storm is to arise from self-pity, from self-condemnation, from blaming and feeling guilty, and rise. There is something that arises in me. I was sharing about it yesterday. The Holy Spirit just rises in me. And David rose and he washed himself. Listen, if you've blown it, If you've got a situation that storm is raging around you, arise. Take your eyes off. Stop looking down. You're not a chicken on the ground. You're an eagle that's meant to be soaring. Start looking up. Look above. Any of us can look at ourselves and we can find flaws, can't we? Or if you start looking at other people, you'll find flaws as well. But when you arise, take your eyes off the storm and you put them on to the beautiful hope that is our God. You see, Paul found out in 1 Timothy 1, chapter, verse 1, Christ is your hope. He can be inside us. He is inside us. It says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. David couldn't do it. So he gave us an example of how he found in that situation. He arose. He washed himself. Listen, get your eyes off yourself. Get yourself eyes off the situation. Get your eyes off your body and the pain and all, any of it. And put them on him. And be washed in the blood of Jesus. Oh, I love the blood of Jesus. There's no other way that we are cleansed. David washed himself. And then he anointed himself. That means that he knew the value of anointing. Start worshiping God and the anointing will flow. Amen? Remind God that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me. So I remind God, you've anointed me, Lord. And now I'm just believing that the Holy Spirit will anoint me more. I've washed myself in the blood. I've come to the altar. I've come to the cross. I'm going to put new clothes on. That's what David did. He took off all his old garbage and he put on new clothes. You can't find the eye of the storm in your old clothes. You have to put the robes of righteousness on. Receive them. That's what have been given to us. Or you can say, but that doesn't apply for me. Well, let it apply. Receive those robes of righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In the eye of the storm, you are righteous. Your eyes are on him. You're washed in the blood. You've taken off the garbage that makes you feel ugh, that's full of self-pity, full of condemnation, full of lack of self-worth, or whatever it is. Take those things off. Throw them off. Yesterday, people were throwing off things that had landed on them through the hopping locust, then the stripping locust, then the crawling locust. That's another message, but I won't go down that way. Right. So David arose, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and he went into the house of the Lord and he worshipped. He worshipped. They set food before him and he ate. In your crisis, in your situation, in the eye of the storm, you can worship. You can and you must worship. Because that's where we are fed then by the Spirit of God. He gives us manna from heaven, doesn't he? Didn't he do it all those years ago? Somebody told me, I don't know whether it's true, they'd worked out how much manna was needed to feed 6 million of God's people for 40 years in the wilderness, that it would take 1,000 million times of lorries going there and back to the moon for years and years and years and years. God has plenty of sustenance for us. God has plenty of manna for us if we can get into that place and worship him. Amen. He doesn't change. He's the unchanging one. We've got to be the ones that change. Take our focus off things, people, situation, and focus on Christ, our hope, who will not let us go. Amen? And all the way through the Bible, I want to be quick on this, but you know, Joseph had every reason, didn't he, to feel hard done by. His family wanted to kill him, left there, but everywhere he was, he found favor with God. Every time that people let him down, his eyes went back. Do you know what his eyes went back on, I believe, was the promise of God and the gifting that God had put in him. There's some of you, you've left your gifting behind. You're not operating in your gifting. And so your hope is wishy-washy. It's an up and down a situation. If things are going good, you're fine. But if things are not going good, you're almost shipwrecked. You're getting to the edge where the storm is affecting you. Come back into the eye of the storm. Find that peace. Experience worshiping him, fixing your eyes. That's what Joseph had to do. And in a day, it changed. It all changed. When you believe in the God of all hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, God will raise you up in one day. I can see people here that you're saying, you don't know my situation. It can't change. It can change. It will change. If you can get to your place where you're putting your hope in the hope that won't let you down. Amen? Did you get your encouragement, Leslie? Oh, well, thank you, Lord. It's all right. She knows what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You know, the thing is this. The hope that we have will not disappoint us. But then when most people say, but you have forgotten a scripture, Joe. So I'm going to go to Proverbs. Where is it? All right. I think it's here somewhere. I'm just going to speak it out because I can't find it at the moment. Okay? And I'll tell you where it is. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Okay? And I have heard this spoken so many times. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Have you heard it? But what you don't know is that that word hope there is carnal hope. It's a hope placed in this world, not in the eternal hope. You see, the eternal hope that I'm talking about, this beautiful hope today, is eternal. It's placed in heaven. We have to pull it into our situation by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, yes, you put your hope in people, in situations, and things here, and they will disappoint you. They will. Every time there's a delay, you think it's not working. But you haven't got your hope in the right place. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that we have a better hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a better hope than all of these people in the Old Testament that kept putting their hope. David kept putting his hope in God. But we have a better hope. We have a complete hope. We have a hope that is not going to make us sick. It's not going to give us heartache. It's not. So, how do you manage this? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the hope is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. Carnal hope will make your heart sick. I believe in doctors. I believe that they are used by God in an amazing way. I believe in sovereign healing. Amen? I believe in people praying for each other. I believe in all those good and wonderful things. But our hope has to be in who God is, the God of all hope. Because that, when things don't work, when somebody dies that you've been thinking is going to live, you've been praying, you've been doing it. I've seen churches change. I've seen them split. I've seen them go away and be nothing. When something happens, when hope deferred makes the heart sick, it causes us to get at each other. It causes us to take our eyes off the eternal hope that is a beautiful, beautiful hope. But when hope is fulfilled. That means eternal hope. It becomes a tree of life. And this morning, I want to ask you to dare to take from the tree of life an eternal hope that will never, never disappoint you. That will keep you healthy. That will change your circumstances. It will change you in a day, in a moment. It will cause you to look above and not look around you at all. This hope is like a tree of life. It's on the inside of me. And I'm taking hold of that because I'm wanting to give it away. You see, when they were in the Garden of Eden, they had all the trees that they could take from. Oh, but there's just one that God says don't. And they immediately wanted. But God had a plan. The God of all hope always has a plan. I could tell you, I've been through such hopeless situations in the last couple of months that I couldn't begin to explain to you how hopeless they were. And on one occasion, I was completely locked out of a place that I should have been in. I was completely, had no key. I'd left my keys of the car, the phone was gone, the bag was in there. I was locked out. A hopeless, hopeless situation. And I'm standing on the pavement thinking, Lord, I only wanted to help my family. That's all I wanted to do. What am I going to do? And I remember, you're the God of my hope. The hope that doesn't make my heart sick. But there is a tree of life. And I said, Lord, how do I take from the tree of life today, now, on this situation? He said, Jill, I always have a key. A key that you can take hold of. Because my hope will never, never, never disappoint you. And I'm thinking, that doesn't really help me, Lord. But then he said, put your hand in your pocket. And as I put my hand in my pocket, I don't know to this day how, but he put a key in my pocket. And I pick it up. And I look at this key, and it's not the key for where I need to go. And you know, I mean, I have these relationships with God. I tell him, the key I've got is no good. Oh my, don't tell God it's no good when he gives you the key of all hope. Yeah. But that was my attitude. He's so gracious. He's such a wonderful, wonderful God of my hope. And I saw it was the key to my daughter's apartment. He said, go there. I told Pedro is my son-in-law, to leave all his keys on the side for you. They're out the country for 2 weeks. And the first day when I'm on my own, I walk in, get the lift. I'm using the key to my daughter's apartment. I think, have I heard you really, Lord? Is there hope in this? You know, you're never quite sure, are you? I'm human just like you are, you know? I turned the key and I thought, am I going to find the keys? And there on the side were this enormous bunch of keys. He has a key, and I want to tell you, he has a key of hope for every single one of you. Every single one of you. But you have to take it from the tree of life. Because when God knew that they'd fallen, he stopped them taking from the tree of life, lest they would be forever perished, forever damned, and no redemption could be possible. But the tree of life was opened as Jesus died on the tree at Calvary. There is always a key to hope. In your situation today, now, in your situation that can turn around your past and make it fulfilled. But you've got to take the key of life. You've got to take from the tree of life, from the hope that will never disappoint you. Amen. I know there are so many people here, and I know that you've got situations you can't see the answer to. And even if you haven't got it now, along the way, there may be situations. This is, God said, teach my people to handle the storms, to find the eye of the storm, and to walk with hope that will not disappoint them. It is a beautiful hope. It is a beautiful, beautiful hope. So will you, if you can, will you stand with me? Gary, where are you, my darling? Hallelujah. Or Nicola, just to play. Hallelujah. Oh, just let me read you this. I've forgotten about it, but the Lord hasn't. I'm being really blessed these days by the new Passion Translation. Now, that verse that we've been looking at, hear it with a new ear and take hope from it. Now, hey, people, now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, not in a few moments' time, but now, amen? The hope that's eternal is now, okay? It says, now, may God, the inspiration and the fountain of all hope. Oh, wow. God, who is the inspiration and the fountain of all hope, fill you. This is my prayer for you, his prayer for you. Fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy. Woo! Get squeezed and out of you will come uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround you, surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. Oh, wouldn't it be amazing if everywhere you went in the next few days along the way, whether you go to work, whether you go into a shop, and they say, you're radiating with a hope. I don't understand it. Have you won the pools or you won the lottery? No, my God has filled me to overflowing from the fountain of all hope that will never run dry. Hallelujah. So that we radiate. Don't you think the world deserves to see a people radiating with joy and hope and peace in whatever your circumstances are? Amen? So we're going to just worship now, Gary, okay? And if you want, I just want to say this. 2.5 years ago, I stood with somebody who just came up in another church, and I didn't know that she had a hopeless situation. She just said, it's hopeless. I said to her, I'm going to stand with you. My God of all hope is going to change that circumstance. That's all I said. But the Holy Spirit, the God of all hope, the fountain of hope was there. And I heard just 2 or 3 weeks ago, she'd been diagnosed 2 days previously with terminal cancer and had a fortnight to live. But just 2 weeks, or was it about a month ago, I had a note to say, I went that following Tuesday after you had stood with me and there wasn't a trace of cancer in her body. Hallelujah! I have a God of all hope. I don't care how hopeless your situation is. There is an eye in the storm. There is a hope in your relationship. There is a hope that is eternal. And if you can draw from the tree of life, do you know what? You will radiate with hope. And you'll be able to go out and you give hope to the hopeless out there. Amen. Thank you, Gary. We're just going to worship and we'll just see. I'd love to stand with you. sing in the spirit. If you haven't got the words, just sing from your heart. You have been so let down. God says, my hope will heal you. My hope will fill you. My hope will give you wisdom in every situation. Just be as real as you can. Some of you have had words that just have been drawn out and you haven't seen the fulfillment. I want you to place your hope in the God that's eternal. If He's given you a word, He's breathing on that word today. He's not going to let you down. Connect with Him. He's your beautiful hope. He's your beautiful hope. Christ is your hope. If you're born again, He is your hope. On the inside, you don't have to reach out. You just receive that seed of eternal hope. You don't have to be afraid of what crisis might happen, or what storm might come, or what situation might arise, because you have the God of all hope. Agree with Him. Be conformed to His will. Experience His peace and great good and prosperity will come to you. I'm really aware that God is working very deeply in so many people. We need to be very sensitive to Him. But if you feel that just by coming forward, you're identifying that you are actually going to receive something special for you or your situation, then we're just going to worship again, Gary, and I'm going to invite you to come forward, and I'm going to stand with you for whatever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Gary.